In today's gospel, we hear Jesus criticizing the behavior of certain religious leaders who believe that their positions place them on the same level with God and above all others. This attitude led to Jesus calling them out for the duplicity, do what they say, but not what they do, since their pride compromised the way they should have been serving God as faithful role models for the people to imitate. These leaders forgot that their vocations were a gift from God to serve him and his people. They were more inclined to serve themselves with the platitudes and salutations that came by their way to satisfy their egos. Their actions and inactions, especially when it came to matters of the Jewish faith, were bereft of compassion and mercy for those who struggled with following the commandments and the Jewish law. Instead of helping and guiding those who were lost, confused, or marginalized, they readily imposed severe penalties, as we hear in the story when Jesus challenges those who had accused the woman of adultery. These leaders were also prone to justify their ambivalence under the guise of false piety. Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners as if they themselves never did? They also constructed a distorted narrative on who the Messiah should be and what he should do to align with their own expectations. This attitude blinded them to the truth that standing within their midst was something much more than Jonah, the fulfillment of all the prophets and writings, Jesus himself, who they dismissed as a wayward troublemaker. Their pride and public denial of Jesus was the catalyst that inflamed the crowd to demand that Pilate release a criminal, and it instigated those who derided and mocked our Lord as he placed himself on the cross for the salvation of humanity. Now, we may look at this account and think that Jesus' criticism was directed towards a certain group of people during a certain period of time for a specific faith. However, the temptation effects of self-consuming pride, which Jesus was warning about, is relevant within our own times. Consider the need for recognition within our society. On just one social media platform, there are over 35 million status updates and 4 million likes posted every minute. Add to this the 50 million plus influencers, A-listers, celebrities, and the like. I gather that quite a few people are about widening their phylacteries and lengthening their tassels. How often have we even found ourselves posting a comment, photo, or sharing a feed and waiting on those emojis? We have even a dynamic of experts offering their advice on who Jesus is, the arguments over the veracity of sacred scripture, as well as the debates about the practicality of church teachings and tradition within today's culture. When we only have 2/3 of Catholics believing in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and only 17% of adult Catholics attending Mass at least once per week, it is evident that faulty theology can lead the flock astray. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus sought to convert the hearts and minds of people, whether it was through healing, forgiving sins, teaching, or we have in our gospel this evening, admonishment. After he had called out the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy, Jesus' disciples and audience were probably left scratching their heads on who they should listen to and follow when it came to matters of the Jewish faith. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, did not leave them wandering about with their own assumptions or conclusions. Rather, he drew them towards himself by showing the way they can strengthen their belief and faith as his followers. Jesus reminded the crowd that no person is worthy of praise, worship, or awe that belongs to God alone. This warning would have struck a chord with his listeners, since giving glory to God alone was recited daily in the Jewish prayer known as the Shema, something that those scribes and Pharisees kept in those phylacteries. Jesus tells his audience that there is no need to call these leaders rabbis, teachers of the Jewish war, or to share the title among themselves, for it's Jesus himself who is the only teacher, the master who by his words and deeds reveals the way of faithful discipleship. Our Lord explains that pride is among the least desirable attributes of disciple, as he proclaims that true greatness in God's eyes, worthy of exaltation, is humble servitude. So if humility is the way to imitate Jesus in our lives, what may be the steps we can take to embody this virtue? Humility is having a proper attitude before God. The leaders in our story considered themselves the masters of their own destiny. They failed to recognize that their vocation, seated on the chair of Moses, was a gift from God. They used their positions for their own benefit and reveled in the scandalous accolades of misaligned pride. A humble person recognizes that all they have is a gift from God, and that they are called to use those gifts in the service of God for the benefit of others. We do not need fame, wealth, or lofty titles to tend to God's kingdom. We all have the ability to embrace what God has shared with us, his transformative grace, as a way to imitate Jesus in our daily lives. Humility is essential for service to others. As we heard, these leaders placed heavy burdens on others and did not lift a finger to help them. As Jesus' disciples, we should always look for places we can serve, to lend a hand, and in doing so, we can share Jesus' message of hope and mercy by lifting the burden of others. Jesus is the model of humility. Jesus called out those leaders for giving the appearance of humility to manipulate others. Being falsely pious and lowly is not humility, nor is being overly scrupulous in matters of religion. Jesus is our teacher, the master who shares his life with us so that we may share ours with others in accordance with God's will. The virtue of humility begins with and grows by comparing ourselves only with Jesus to admit our faults and understand our limitations. True humility means that we recognize our gifts and strengths and are willing to use them as our Lord asks. Humility is not self-degradation, rather, it is a realistic self-assessment and a commitment to serve. Friends, the world does not value or understand the power of humility, but we do, because of what was Jesus used to save us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So as we leave Mass today, inspired by the Word of God and strengthened by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what steps can we take to be humble, to give praise to God for the graces he shares with us, and imitate Jesus' example of humble servitude?